Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here once again to take you on another small journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today we will cover disappointments, ungratefulness, broken affections, questions 937 to 938. Then cover antipathetic unions, questions 939 to 940. Finally, fear of death, 941 to 942.
Enjoy.
Question 937. Aren't the disappointments caused by ingratitude and by the fragility of the ties of friendships also a source of bitterness for the human heart?
Yes, but we have already taught you to feel pity for ungrateful and disloyal friends. They will be unhappier than you are. Ingratitude is the child of selfishness, and selfish individuals will sooner or later encounter hearts as hard as their own. Just think of all those who have done more good than you, who are more worthy than you, and who have been repaid with ingratitude. Remember that during his life, Jesus himself was scoffed at, despised, and treated as a villain and an impostor. So do not be surprised when the same happens to you. Let the good you have done be your reward in this world, and do not worry about what those who have benefited from it say. Ingratitude serves to test your persistence in doing good. It will be credited to you, and those who have been thoughtless toward you will be punished to the same extent that they have been ungrateful.
Question 938. Couldn't the disappointments caused by ingratitude harden the heart and make it insensitive?
That would be unfortunate, because persons with heart, as you say, will always be happy for the good they have done. They know that if the good they have done is not remembered in the present life, it will be in another, and the ingrate will then feel shame and remorse.
Subquestion 938. But this knowledge will not prevent their heart from feeling hurt. Mightn't this lead them to think they would be happier if they were less sensitive?
Yes, if they were to prefer a selfish happiness, a very sad happiness. However, if they know that the ungrateful friends who desert them are unworthy of their friendship, and that they have been mistaken about them, they will no longer regret losing them. Later on, they will find friends who are more understanding. You should pity those who treat you in a way that you do not deserve, because they will suffer a sad recompense. Don't let yourselves be afflicted by them. It is a means for you to raise yourselves above them.
Author's remarks for question 938. Nature has given humans the need to love and be loved. One of the greatest enjoyments granted to them on earth is in their meeting with mutually attuned hearts. Nature thus grants them a foretaste of the happiness awaiting them in the world of perfected spirits, where all is love and benevolence, a happiness that is refused to the selfish. Question 939. Since sympathetic spirits are led to meet one another, why is it that among incarnate spirits, affection is frequently only one-sided, and sincere love is received with indifference or even repulsion? Moreover, can't the liveliest affection between two persons turn into dislike and sometimes hatred?
Can't you understand that this may be a punishment, albeit a passing one? Besides, how many are there who think they are deeply in love because they only judge physical appearance? But when obliged to live together, they soon realize their judgment had only been based on physical passion? It is not enough to be enamored with someone who pleases you. and whom you suppose to be endowed with beautiful qualities. It is only by living together that you can appreciate each other. On the other hand, how many unions there are that at first seem to be incompatible, but which, in time, as both get to know each other better, are transformed into a tender and lasting love because it is founded on a mutual esteem. You must not forget that it is the spirit who loves and not the body, and that once the physical illusion dissipates, the spirit sees reality. There are two kinds of affection, that of the body and that of the soul, and these are often mistaken for each other. When pure and sympathetic, the affections of the soul is lasting. The affection of the body is perishable. That is why those who believed they loved each other with an eternal love often end up detesting each other when the illusion has vanished.
Question 940. Isn't the lack of sympathy between persons destined to live together also a source of suffering that is all the more bitter because it poisons their entire existence?
Very bitter, in fact. However, it is usually one of those misfortunes of which you yourselves are the main cause. In the first place, simply because your laws are at fault, do you believe that God obliges you to live with those you dislike? Moreover, in such unions, you almost always seek more to satisfy your pride and ambition rather than to enjoy the happiness of mutual affection. Thus, you suffer the natural consequence of your prejudices.
Sub-question 940. But in such cases, isn't there almost always an innocent victim?
Yes. And for that one, it is a heavy expiation. However, the responsibility for such unhappiness will fall upon the one who has caused it. If the light of truth has reached the soul of the victim, faith in the future will provide consolation. Besides, to the degree that such prejudices are weakened, the cause of these private misfortunes will disappear.
Question 941. The worry over death is highly vexing to many people. Why such worry if they have the whole future in front of them?
It is wrong to have such apprehension, but what do you expect? Since early on, people have been persuaded that there is a hell and a heaven, and that they will most likely go to hell because they have been taught that whatever belongs to the realm of nature is a mortal sin for the soul. Thus, when they grow up, and if they have any reason at all, they can no longer accept such a belief and become atheists or materialists. It is thus that they are led to believe that nothing exists beyond the present life. And for those who persist in their childhood belief, they fear the eternal fire that must burn them without destroying them. But death does not inspire any fear in the righteous, for faith gives them certainty about the future. Hope beckons them with a better life, and since they have practiced the law of charity, they have the assurance that in the world into which they will enter, they will not find anyone into whose eyes they will dread to look.
Refer to question number 730. Author's remarks for question 941. Carnal individuals are more connected to corporeal life than spiritual life, and while on earth, they experience only its physical pains and pleasures. Their happiness consists in the fleeting satisfaction of all their desires. Their soul is constantly concerned with and affected by the vicissitudes of life, and hence it remains anxious and in constant torment. Death terrifies them because they have doubts about the future and because they believe that they must leave on earth all their affections and hopes. Even while in this world, moral persons who have raised themselves above the artificial needs created by the passions experience pleasures unknown to materialistic persons. The moderation of their desires lends calmness and serenity to their spirit. Happy with the good they do, there are no disappointments, and vexations pass lightly over their soul without leaving any painful marks. Question 942. Won't some people think that these counsels about happiness are a little banal? Won't they see them as being commonplace or as platitudes? And won't they say that the secret to happiness is to know how to bear up under misfortune?
There are those who say that, and they are numerous. Many of them, however, are like ill persons for whom the doctor has prescribed a particular diet. They would like to be healed without any medications and continue to hand themselves over to indigestion.